This is Brother Peter Diamond here, and I was going to be talking about Jerry Mattetix, a person some of our readers are familiar with. A thorough expose of this heretic has become necessary because Jerry continues to put himself out there as a teacher of Catholic truth, and in fact, almost the only teacher of Catholic truth in our day, when in fact he is, sadly, a heretic, a schismatic, and an outrageous hypocrite. And so I'm going to be going through the evidence which demonstrates those assertions and basically detailing his career of bad will and corruption of Catholic truth. Jerry Mattetix currently holds the no jurisdiction position, according to which none of the independent priests who were not approved in the normal fashion under Pius XII have jurisdiction, because according to the strict letter of canon law, you must receive it from a lawful superior. We've refuted this completely false position on our website in our article on jurisdiction, and I'm going to be doing another talk which refutes this false position in much more detail. But this is the position which Jerry has now embraced. It's not surprising, considering that he's been a man of bad will for so long, that he would adopt this pharisaical, unhistorical, illogical, and ridiculous position to mislead people. Before I get into that, I want to cover the main problems with Jerry Mattetix. He, unfortunately, is a heretic against the dogma, outside the church there is no salvation, because he regards as Catholics those who deny the dogma, outside the church there is no salvation. He also regards as acceptable documents which teach heresy against the dogma, no salvation outside the church. And he does not accept the Catholic Church's teaching on the necessity of water baptism, but instead believes that people can be saved without baptism, and that this is an acceptable opinion. Baptism of desire is acceptable. Now, to my first assertion regarding his acceptance as Catholics, people who deny the dogma outside the church there is no salvation. In November of 2008, Jerry Mattetix did a talk with a woman named Judith, a talk he does regularly with this woman, in which he stated that Tom Drzelewski is a Catholic. He stated, quote, "When Catholics like you or me or Tom Drzelewski speak about this," and he went on, end quote. A few minutes earlier, he actually praised this woman for having Tom Drzelewski speak on her program, another program she did, and he said, quote, "I'm so appreciative of you having Tom Drzelewski on your program," end quote. Now, Tom Drzelewski, not a necessarily significant figure, but significant in proving this point, is a horrible heretic, one of the worst heretics in the traditional movement. He believes that Jews who reject Christ can be saved. He believes that baptism of desire can apply to people in false religions. He attacks the necessity of water baptism and those who defend the necessity of water baptism. And he supports priests and groups who believe that souls can be saved in false religions and that Jews who reject Christ can be saved. This is a well-documented fact. In fact, we documented it well before Jerry made these statements on our website in an article about Tom Drzelewski, in which we posted an exchange which I had with him, where I asked him whether he considered Father Dennis Fahey's statement that Jews who reject Christ can be in the state of grace to be heretical. That's a good question for uncovering whether a person is a heretic, because many of these bad-willed individuals are reluctant to say that Father Dennis Fahey, a person they admire, actually taught heresy on this issue when he wrote that a Jew who rejects Christ can have the supernatural life of God or the state of grace, and thus could be saved. And Tom Drzelewski wrote back, and this is documented on our website, saying that he not only thinks it's not heretical, but that he agrees with Fahey. So he believes Jews who reject Christ can be saved. He rejects the whole heart of the gospel. If there's one thing that's clear in the gospels, it's that you must believe in Jesus Christ and that the Jews who do not believe in Jesus Christ cannot be saved. So this is Antichrist heresy. Now, did Jerry know about this? Of course he did. I not only made him specifically aware of this well before he praised Tom Drewski, but he knew about it anyway. And furthermore, supposing he didn't know, which is completely untrue, a man of faith in this age of almost complete apostasy cannot just go around praising anyone as a Catholic. He cannot just praise any speaker that comes along. He has to find out first what he holds on these critical issues. What does he hold on the salvation dogma? Okay, so by praising him when he knew that he held this heresy, because we told him about it, and it was also documented on our website, he denies Christ, he denied the dogma outside the church, there is no salvation, and he proves that he regards as Catholics people who can believe that you can be saved in false religions. Furthermore, the very woman he gives the talk with also accepts the heresy that people can be saved in false religions. Even though she might try to deny that, she told me in a conversation a few years ago that she accepts invincible ignorance. She also accepts as Catholics heretics like Tom Drewski and those who believe like him. And so it's a fact that Jerry regards as Catholics people who deny the core dogma, outside the church there is no salvation, and even the necessity of Jesus Christ himself. Now, some might say, well, I haven't heard him say that, and he wouldn't say that a Jew who rejects Christ can be saved. That's probably true, but that doesn't matter. It's not good enough to say that you believe in a particular dogma if you don't reject as heretical and outside the church those who dissent from that dogma. It's just like the Arians, okay? Or at the time of the Arians. It wasn't good enough to agree with the teaching of the Council of Nicaea that our Lord Jesus Christ is one in being with the Father. If you did not also subscribe to the condemnation of Arius, you were banished with the Arians. And so you can say you don't believe in heresy on this issue, but if you don't denounce as heretical those who do, you are a heretic. And so Jerry Matatix is a heretic. Furthermore, Jerry Matatix is a heretic against the salvation dogma because he accepts as not heretical Protocol 122.49. This is also known as Suprema Hoc Sacra, the document against Father Leonard Feeney, published August 8, 1949 by Cardinal Marchetti Salvagiani, a supposed Holy Office letter which taught invincible ignorance, baptism of desire, implicit desire, not just for catechumens. It taught that people don't have to be members of the church. It taught that people can be inside the church without belonging to the body of the church. And I had a 5-hour conversation with Jerry in the year 2007 in which I was trying desperately to get him to admit that this letter is heretical. He refused. He will not say that this letter is heretical. He thus accepts this blatantly heretical document, which was, one could argue, the key to the great apostasy, because after it was published, the public got the impression that the dogma outside the church, there is no salvation, had been officially revoked by the Catholic Church, which of course is not true because this document did not emanate from the Catholic Church, but from heretical church men. And so he's a heretic on that issue, and it proves that he also accepts as acceptable, even if he wouldn't necessarily claim to believe it himself, he accepts it as an acceptable position to believe in invincible ignorance, as the protocol says, that people who are not just catechumens can be saved, as the protocol says, that people who can be inside the church without belonging to the body of the church, as the protocol says. That's all acceptable, according to Jerry Matatix's heretical denial of the salvation dogma. Now, the third point of heresy that Jerry commits on this issue concerns his position that baptism of desire is an acceptable opinion, even after you've seen all of the dogmatic evidence which contradicts it. We correctly point out that once you see the mountain of evidence, such as the dogmatic statements concerning one baptism of water from the Council of Vienne, the literal interpretation of John 3:5 from Trent and Florence, the necessity of the sacramental system, okay, which means that at least one sacrament is absolutely necessary for salvation, the necessity of subjection to the Roman Pontiff for the salvation of every human creature, and the dogmatic teaching that only those who are sacramentally baptized are subject to the Roman Pontiff. The dogmatic teaching of the Church that church membership in unity is defined by incorporation into the church through water baptism. The dogmatic teaching that you're only part of the faithful through water baptism, and that it's necessary to be among the faithful to be saved. And on and on and on. And that's why we say that anyone who looks at all of this evidence and still holds even explicit baptism of desire is of bad will, and I believe a heretic. And I have yet to this day met one person who can look at all of this evidence and who is of good will and who does not also accept the heresy that souls can be saved in other religions. And in fact, just last night I had a conversation with a couple who actually is in theological agreement with Jerry, and they claim that they only believe in explicit baptism of desire. They were very adamant about this, that they don't extend this to people who've never heard of Christ, they don't accept invincible ignorance, etc. And my point is that there is no such person who believes in explicit baptism of desire today who doesn't also at least accept the heresy that souls can be saved in invincible ignorance, etc. Well, when I questioned them further about Protocol 122.49, and I specifically pointed out to them that that teaches not just explicit baptism of desire, but implicit desire for people who are not catechumens and people who are in invincible ignorance. And then I said, so if you're really true to what you were just telling me, that you only believe in explicit baptism of desire, you would admit that Suprema Hoc Sacra, aka Protocol 122.49, the document against Father Leonard Feeney, is heretical. And what do you know? They refused to say, yes, it is heretical. One of them reluctantly admitted it at one point, but wasn't firm on it, contradicted himself. And he also refused to denounce as heretical the people who accept Protocol 122.49 and this heresy of baptism of desire applying to people in other religions. So it proves that all the people who accept baptism of desire, after they've seen the evidence, all the dogmatic evidence that is marshaled, are of bad will. A person who is of good will, once he sees all the evidence, will take the absolutely no exceptions position and will gravitate toward that position. He or she will not need to be convinced of it, because he will want to defend the dogmatic truth. He will want to adhere to what the papal magisterium says, rather than fallible church men. And so that's the third area of heresy that Jerry commits on this issue. The two I've covered previously just totally prove that he is actually a Christ denier. And that brings me to the next point, which is that Jerry lies on his website when he tries to respond to our charge about his heresy on this issue. He says that we misrepresent his position, and that even after I've corrected them, they have persisted in libelously misrepresenting me as having, quote, sold out to those who teach the liberal view that one can be saved in other religions, which is a damnable lie, since I have never at any time held to this heresy, nor have I for a single moment ever considered to be a Catholic, anyone holding to this heresy, end quote. So Jerry boldly states that he's never held that someone is a Catholic who believes that souls can be saved in false religions, and that we commit libel, and it's a damnable lie for us to say that he does. Well, this is outrageous dishonesty, for we just proved that what we said is 100% true. He praised Tom Drzelewski, who believes that very thing. He not only called him a Catholic, but he thanked the woman for having him on her program. Here are the clips.
And by the way, I was so appreciative of your having Tom Drzelewski on your program, because he said a lot of very important things and very good things, and I, as far as I remember, I listened to the whole program, because you sent me the CD, I listened to it carefully. I don't recall hearing anything in it that I disagreed with. And when Catholics like you or me or Tom Drzelewski or others speak out about this, or...
This proves that Jerry Matytix is utterly dishonest, a complete liar, and that he lies about us and commits libel. We didn't lie about him. These clips clearly prove that he regards as Catholics people who deny the salvation dogma, antichrist heretics and one of the worst heretics in the traditional movement who attacks the necessity of water baptism and tramples upon the necessity of believing in Jesus Christ the Lord for salvation. These clips that I played were from November of 2008, less than 1 year ago, and well after Jerry's written statement, which we've been discussing. Moving back to what he posted in response to our pointing this fact out, in this same vein, he tries to criticize our position on the absolute necessity of water baptism. He says that, quote, "The Diamond Brothers take too unacceptably rigorous a view of this dogma, uncharitably and unjustly anathematizing as hellbound heretics those who might hold, as did St. Thomas, St. Robert, St. Alphonsus, and in fact every single doctor of the Church and every catechism and theological manual used by the Church for the last millennium, to the remote possibility of salvation for Catholic catechumens who hold the Catholic faith and who possess perfect charity and perfect contrition for their sins, and thus might qualify to receive the grace of the sacrament of baptism when they are unable, through no fault of their own, to receive the sacrament itself, especially if these spiritual qualities are evidenced by their martyrdom for the Catholic faith, such a rare occurrence would still require the existence of the sacrament of baptism and derive its efficacy from the sacrament, thus arguably not negating John 3:5 and similar papal statements," end quote. Now, there are a couple things in this paragraph, including an egregious contradiction. He first criticizes our view as too rigorous, and I will address that, but he expresses his belief in the remote possibility of salvation for a Catholic catechumen who was unable to receive the sacrament of baptism. And then he goes on to say, quote, "Such a rare occurrence would still require the existence of the sacrament of baptism," end quote. That is a bold contradiction, because all the proponents of baptism of desire and blood admit that they are not sacraments. They don't provide the sacramental character, but only the grace of the sacrament. The whole position is that someone can be saved without the sacrament. But Jerry says that they're, on the one hand, unable to receive the sacrament, and then blatantly contradicts himself and says, "Such a rare occurrence would still require the existence of the sacrament of baptism," end quote. That's not only a bold contradiction, but it's heretical, because it would assert that baptism of desire and blood are sacraments. And I think that that's a very interesting contradiction, because it shows that he's not speaking from a point of view of truth. And that's why he is led into such a major contradiction, because his position is false and it's irreconcilable with the truth. He wants, on the one hand, to be able to claim that he's not deviating from the absolute necessity of water baptism and the sacrament of baptism, but the truth is he had just admitted that the person doesn't need the sacrament. And now, because he's speaking out of both sides of his mouth, he says that you need the sacrament. So that proves that his position is false, lying, and blatantly contradictory. He also says that these catechumens are, quote, Catholic and have the faith. Well, that also contradicts Catholic teaching, because the Council of Trent in Session 6, Chapter 7 on Justification, speaking of catechumens, says that they beg for this faith, which they receive in the sacrament of baptism, when they beg for the faith that grants life eternal. So the Council of Trent itself makes it clear that the catechumens don't have the faith. They're not among the faithful. That's why they had to leave in the early church before the creed and the mass of the faithful began. So he also contradicts Catholic truth by saying that these people can have the faith. Now, he also sees a contradiction in our position that baptism of desire, even explicit baptism of desire, is, strictly speaking, heretical once you've seen all the evidence, when basically most or almost all of the theologians after the time of Aquinas believed in baptism of desire. He says this is ridiculous to call it heretical. Well, we've dealt with this many times before. What theologians and saints might hold in one era of church teaching does not prove that it's the teaching of the church. The majority of the early church and the doctors of the church rejected baptism of desire. You can clearly show that the theologians who adopted baptism of desire cannot square their opinion with the dogmatic evidence, and they misunderstood a passage in the Council of Trent which does not substantiate or prove their position. They also contradict themselves, because some of them say baptism of desire is de fide, some of them say it's close to the faith, etc. Well, if it had been taught, as some of them believe, at Trent, then they'd all admit it was de fide. Their confusion on that point proves that it wasn't taught at Trent. Furthermore, all of those theologians at the same time affirm the absolute necessity of water baptism, which is the universal rule of faith, the unanimous teaching of the theologians throughout history. And so when an exception is inserted for a certain period, that doesn't prove that that exception is the universal rule of faith, just like it was the conviction from Augustine to Abelard, approximately 700 years or so, that unbaptized infants suffer the fires of hell, a position that was later rejected by the theologians. And this brings us to another point totally refuting Jerry and his illogical positions. For Jerry holds that the denial of geocentrism is a, quote, Luciferian heresy. That's something he stated in a talk recently. That to not believe that the Earth is the center of the universe is a Luciferian heresy. And so he obviously believes that the acts against Galileo represented the magisterium condemning non-geocentric views. Well, the problem for Jerry is that the Holy Office and the Congregation of the Index and Pope Benedict XV, in the centuries which followed the Galileo controversy, starting with Pope Benedict XIV around 1740, all reversed their position on the status of non-geocentric views and considered heliocentrism to be acceptable and allowed the printing of heliocentric works. They obviously did not consider it dogmatic. And so just as we hold that baptism of desire is strictly speaking heretical once you've seen all the evidence, even though the theologians of a certain period did not recognize that it was heretical, he holds that non-geocentrism is a Luciferian heresy, even though the theologians and the congregations in Rome from Pope Benedict XIV on did not recognize it. He holds the exact same thing, just applies it to his view of geocentrism. And so Jerry would have to hold that Pope Benedict XV taught a Luciferian heresy when in 1920 he said that the Earth may not be the center of the universe, as was one time thought, and that the theologians of the Congregation of the Index and the Holy Office and the popes, starting with Pope Benedict XIV and including popes such as Pope Pius VII, explicitly went out of their way to allow the teaching and dissemination of a, quote, Luciferian heresy. In fact, in the following clip, notice how Jerry is specifically asked about his position on geocentrism. His answer further proves that his position is false and contradictory, and that he's unable to defend it with consistency. This is from a debate with Ken Bird. Ken, one of the participants, gave me full permission to comment on the audio of this debate.
I have sort of a follow-up, and that's, how do you explain the Catholic Church's reversal on geocentrism?
I'm not persuaded. It's a topic I'm fascinated by. I'm not persuaded the Catholic Church has reversed its teaching on geocentrism. Geocentrism is the idea that the Earth is at the center of the universe, and the sun goes around the Earth, as the Bible says it does, and as popular language in our day still says it does. The sun rises, the sun sets, and all the planets and the moons and everything go around the Earth. That's the general impression you're given in sacred scripture. That's certainly the general impression you're given in the teachings of the fathers and the doctors. And St. Robert Bellarmine had a lengthy correspondence with Galileo about this very issue. So I'm not persuaded. There are people who have argued that because the church seems to have taught geocentrism, I have a book by an Anglican saying that this proves the Catholic Church can't be the real church. It's by someone in the 19th century called the Vatican Decrees on Geocentrism and so forth. I'm not convinced that the church ever overturned that and said, no, you don't have to. Infallibly said, that was wrong, we made a mistake. I think, on the contrary, that heliocentrism was the first capitulation of liberal-minded people to the idea that science is going to stake out its claims and we just have to take whatever crumbs it leaves us left over, and that the caving into Darwinian evolution, which is sort of the next logical step.
Didn't Pope Benedict XV reverse that condemnation?
I'm not convinced he did. I'm aware that the Diamond Brothers argue on their website that he did reverse that. I don't see a clear evidence that he's reversing that, saying we did teach this allegedly for all these years, now we're not teaching this anymore, we're teaching the opposite. I don't think there's a reversal, but I'm willing to learn more about it. And if you can hold my feet to the fire or challenge or make me feel the problem more than I do, I invite you and encourage you to do that.
Well, Jerry, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire and make you feel the problem of your contradictory position. This is why I did want to debate you on Baptism of Desire about a year ago, which you never responded to, and also on Jurisdiction, which I offered on July 13, 2009, and you also didn't respond to such a debate offer. The problem is not that the Catholic Church has reversed itself on geocentrism, for the Catholic Church is infallible and cannot reverse its teaching. We point out that we do not believe that the acts against the denial of geocentrism, the acts against Galileo, were magisterial. Rather, they were acts of theologians of the Holy Office and the Holy Office, which is not infallible. And they were only approved by a pope in common form, as opposed to specific form approval, which would invoke and involve papal infallibility. But the point is this, that if geocentrism is the teaching of the Church, as you say, and the denial of geocentrism is a Luciferian heresy, as you say, it is simply a fact that Pope Benedict XV did not believe that and did not hold that. I will quote him from his encyclical In Praeclera Summorum, April 20th, 1921, number 4. He said, quote, "And though this earth on which we live may not be the center of the universe, as at one time was thought, it was the scene of the original happiness of our first ancestors." End quote. So he clearly does not believe that geocentrism is definitive and dogmatic. He is therefore open to what you consider a Luciferian heresy. Furthermore, and equally as significant, is the point I mentioned that well before Pope Benedict XV, Pope Benedict XIV, in around 1740, lifted the prohibitions against teaching heliocentrism, and the theologians at the Congregation of the Index and the Holy Office allowed this to be taught. So the point is this, and this blows away your criticism of our position, that we correctly point out that just because a group of theologians or non-infallible acts or the consensus of a certain period thinks X about a teaching and its status, that does not prove it's the teaching of the Catholic Church, or that it's not heretical. For you hold that geocentrism is dogma, and the denial of it is a Luciferian heresy, even though the consensus of theologians after 1740 did not agree with that. In the same way, we hold that Baptism of Desire is contrary to dogma, even though the theologians for a large period of time did not recognize that. And our position is substantiated by numerous dogmatic pronouncements, and your position is not substantiated by any dogmatic pronouncement. So it blows away your false, illogical, and inaccurate criticism of our position. There is no contradiction in our position at all. Our position is the true position, which is that papal infallibility is more limited than people think. It's not what this theologian says or that theologian says or even a body at a particular period. It's what the infallible magisterium has taught, and that's why the keys were given to St. Peter. That's why only St. Peter was promised the unfailing faith in Luke 22. And so again, he's completely refuted, and his criticism of our position on the status of the absolute necessity of water baptism is utterly refuted. Now, there are some other examples of heresy that I wanted to cover. In the same talk I mentioned before with the woman named Judith, Jerry referred to the Protestant Chuck Baldwin, who rejects the Catholic Church, and he said, quote, "Chuck Baldwin, perhaps in the total sincerity of his heart, believing that Protestantism is the true faith, still comes short of a true analysis of what is wrong with the human condition." End quote. The word sincere means free of deceit, hypocrisy, or falseness, earnest. And so it clearly has a connotation of goodwill. A strong Catholic could not say that any Protestant is sincere. How can he be sincere when he rejects the Catholic faith? And so this is just maybe a small example of his weakness on that issue. Another example of Jerry's heretical failure to condemn the heresy of invincible ignorance, which is proven by his acceptance of Protocol 122.49, among other things, came in his recent debate on jurisdiction. He did criticize the CMRI's heretical position on invincible ignorance, according to which people who are raised as Catholics and then leave the Catholic Church could also be in, quote, invincible ignorance, even though they were raised as Catholics. Notice how, in addressing the point of invincible ignorance, Jerry doesn't rule out the concept altogether, and he doesn't mention anything about the rampant heresy that invincible ignorance can apply to people who've never heard of Christ. That's the main heresy that all these priests hold. Rather, he limits himself to criticizing how the CMRI applies this to people who were raised Catholic, and so he clearly leaves the door open, or by his silence shows that he doesn't necessarily condemn that heresy. It's an example of a person who is not strong on this issue, who doesn't hold the issue, who doesn't hold the line that a Catholic must hold on this issue.
But my point was that regardless of what Pius IX is saying, I think we would probably both agree he's not talking about, if he's talking about invincible ignorance, he's not talking about people who were raised Catholic, reject the Catholic faith, become a member of an anti-Catholic Protestant church, and are still going to somehow be able to invoke invincible ignorance to get into heaven. But that's what they're being told by clergy of the CMRI, and I find that most regrettable, to put it mildly.
Now, to cover another point on this issue, in our article on Jerry, we point out how a few years back he did claim to be in agreement with us on this issue, but at the very time he claimed to agree with us, it was posted on a website that he was out in the Northwest distributing a booklet called Father Feeney, The Pope Has Spoken, or at least handing it to someone and manifesting his interest and agreement with this booklet. This is a booklet that agrees with the heretical Suprema Hoc Sacra Protocol 122.49 and condemns Father Feeney. And then Jerry tried to criticize the guy who simply reported this fact, as if he should have spoken to Jerry first, because now, at that point, Jerry was being criticized on both sides. He was being criticized by the people who thought he held the necessity of water baptism, and by the people on the other side, because they still thought that he had some sort of attachment to the absolute necessity of water baptism, no baptism of desire position. And this evil booklet, Father Feeney, The Pope Has Spoken, as I said, defends and promotes the heretical Protocol 122.49 and invincible ignorance, thus proving again that Jerry accepts that heresy, even if he doesn't claim to believe it himself, he accepts it. And not only that, but this evil booklet, Father Feeney, The Pope Has Spoken, recommends another booklet called Salvation of Non-Catholics. In this booklet, Salvation of Non-Catholics, put out by the same group that published Father Feeney, The Pope Has Spoken, it teaches that souls can be saved, quote, outside the church, that a heathen can be saved, that people who are saved outside the church are not Catholic, which is true, but it's bluntly admitting that, that people who hate the church can be saved, that men of no church and any church can be saved, that everyone who follows his conscience can be saved, that some people are bound to follow false religions if they're persuaded that they are true, and that some non-Catholics should not even be converted. And so Jerry was manifesting agreement with the heretical booklet Father Feeney, The Pope Has Spoken, published by the same group which publishes this outrageous apostasy in the book Salvation of Non-Catholics, which is recommended in Father Feeney, The Pope Has Spoken, to just show how he denies the dogma further. And he might say that he doesn't agree with what's in Salvation of Non-Catholics. Well, the bottom line is he agrees with the whole range of heresy by not condemning as heretical Suprema Hoc Sacra, which opens the door to all of this heresy and puts him in the camp with the Baptism of Desire apostates. He is definitely in that camp. That's why he prays with this woman Judith, who accepts it. That's why he praises Tom Drzelewski as a Catholic. Now, in the aforementioned debate, Jerry makes another significant error, which is related somewhat to this topic. He was asked about St. Thomas Aquinas, or it came up how St. Thomas Aquinas made a doctrinal error on the Immaculate Conception. He did not believe in it. And Jerry came back and said that that's not true. And I'm going to play that clip.
I really feel obliged to stand up for good old St. Thomas Aquinas. He did not teach what people have erroneously concluded that he taught about that. St. Thomas was operating with a different understanding of the relationship of the soul to the body, and believed that the soul came into the body several days after the body had been conceived. He never said that Our Lady's soul was in any way tainted by sin. He believed it was immaculate from the moment it entered the body. He simply thought that the body had a head start on the soul. And he's been falsely accused of that so many times that I just feel obliged to say that.
Now, Jerry is completely wrong about this. He says that people falsely accuse St. Thomas Aquinas of teaching contrary to the Immaculate Conception. That is completely wrong, and I'm just going to give a quote to completely disprove Jerry on this point, and it comes from the Summa Theologica, Part 3, Question 27, Article 2, Reply to Objection 2, quote, "If the soul of the Blessed Virgin had never incurred the stain of original sin, this would be derogatory to the dignity of Christ, by reason of his being the universal Savior of all." End quote. He clearly indicates that the soul of the Blessed Virgin, not just the body, incurred the stain of original sin. And he even makes the argument that if the soul of the Blessed Virgin had never incurred the stain of original sin, this would be derogatory to the dignity of Christ. In other words, he wouldn't be the Savior of all, according to St. Thomas, if she had not incurred original sin on her soul. He was simply wrong. This was before the dogma was defined. But to obstinately attempt to defend him from this clear error is simply an example of bad will. But because Jerry, frankly, I have to say, worships the intellect of St. Thomas Aquinas, he refuses to admit that he made this doctrinal error, for why else would he be so reluctant to simply admit this fact when he knows that people have pointed this out, and he obstinately asserts that St. Thomas did not make this error? Here's another quote which further demonstrates the point. It also comes from St. Thomas Aquinas in the Summa Theologica in the same article, Reply to Objection 3. Quote, "Although the Church of Rome does not celebrate the conception of the Blessed Virgin, yet it tolerates the custom of certain churches that do keep that feast, wherefore this is not to be entirely reprobated. Nevertheless, the celebration of this feast does not give us to understand that she was holy in her conception." So he says that she was not holy in her conception, and that her soul was stained with the guilt of original sin. It doesn't get any more clear. In fact, in the first quote I gave, he goes on to state that, quote, "But the Blessed Virgin did indeed contract original sin, but was cleansed therefrom before her birth from the womb." So he held that her soul contracted original sin, not just that her body was born into it, but that her soul contracted it, but that it was removed from her soul before her birth. Therefore, he denied the Immaculate Conception, which is that her soul, from the very first instant of its creation, was free from all stain of original sin. If that's not sufficient to prove the point, it should be to any person of good will. One could also cite St. Thomas Aquinas' Catechetical Instructions, which is available online. It says, quote, "Christ excelled the Blessed Virgin in this, that he was conceived and born without original sin. The Blessed Virgin was conceived in original sin, but not born into it." End quote. So he was clearly dead wrong on that issue. And so this is an example of Jerry's bad will, not because he made a mistake, for we all make mistakes, but he's obviously obstinate and tenacious on this point, for he's heard that people make this claim, and he's heard about it, and yet still obstinately, for some reason, insists that St. Thomas was correct. That's an example of bad will. And so that pretty much summarizes Jerry's denial of the salvation dogma, and it is extreme. He definitely tramples upon the necessity to believe in Jesus Christ, because even though he would personally claim that you have to accept Jesus Christ for salvation, he praises as Catholics those people who reject that teaching. After he knew that they rejected that teaching, or any reasonable Catholic who cared about the necessity of Christ the Lord would find out before praising them as Catholic. And he also accepts the Protocol Letter 122-49, and therefore invincible ignorance, implicit desire, not just for catechumens, but for those in invincible ignorance, not in the body of the Church, etc. And he does not accept the dogmatic teaching on the absolute necessity of water baptism and the obligation to adhere to that.